Really a joy to be able to gather together with you and spend the next couple of days just opening our hearts to God and to the work of His Spirit as He ministers to us. For the husband must first be the partaker of the fruit. Begins with God's ministry to you. And it is only after He has ministered to you that you can adequately minister to others. As God works in our lives, it's always with that double view. He's interested in you and what He can do for you and in you, but always He is looking at what He intends to do through you. And so here we are to receive that work of God within us, as God is preparing us for that work He wants to do then through us in touching the world around us. First of all, I'd like to just find out how many pastors do we have here who are ministering outside of the continental United States? All right, let's just have you stand up and let's hear who you are and where you're ministering so that we can... All right, we'll start right over here.
Calvary Chapel, the Waianae Coast in Hawaii.
Oh, all right.
Christian Fellowship, Perth, Western Australia.
Oh, praise the Lord. Beautiful.
Calvary Chapel of Manila, Philippines. Calvary Chapel, Cebu City, Philippines.
Oh, neat. Oh, right here, okay.
Calvary South, Perth, Western Australia.
Oh, beautiful. Great. I love your accents. Okay. Great. Alamos, Mexico. Alamos in Mexico. Juan? Great. Cow China, my. Yeah, that hardly counts, Ricky. My, Hawaii. You guys just wanted to make us all jealous, I know. Yeah. That, Philippines, great. Ray in the back, right in the back. Go ahead. All right. Great. Ah, oh, yes, Jerry. Great. Oh, all right. Paul in Romans chapter 12 talking about the gifts of the Spirit in verse 6 declares, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. I'd like to talk to you for a little bit this afternoon about the gift of ministry. First of all, the most important thing is that you do have the gift. As the Spirit divides to each man severally as He wills, there are those to whom the Spirit gives the gift of ministry. I think, though, that through the usage of the word, as words change through usage, that this is one of those words that has suffered radical change of definition through usage, through the passing of time. There are a lot of false concepts of what a minister is and what the ministry is. And I believe that most ministers entertain these false concepts and really help to foster them. The ministry is not a profession to be chosen by idealistic young men who want to in some way serve humanity. The ministry is a calling of God. And to be a minister does not mean that you have some kind of rule or authority over people. There's been a lot of damage that has been done in the body of Christ by what was called the shepherding movement, where the ministers sought to take control over the people's lives, making their decisions for them, becoming an intermediary between the people and God. Sort of saying to the people, look, you don't have the ability or the right to come directly to God. You come to me and I will go to God for you and I will let you know what God has in store or in mind for you. And there are a lot of shipwrecks, really, broken lives that resulted from that doctrine. Being a minister doesn't put you on a scale above others. It doesn't mean you're any closer to God. And if you're entertaining that concept, look out. God will show you how low you can go. To be a minister does not mean that people are to cater to you. Now, people don't realize that. As I say, the word minister has suffered through usage. And so many times we see people with sort of that attitude, well, you know, I'm the minister. That immediately qualifies me for a 10% discount and, you know, a little special service. You can carry my bags and you know, you can look after my needs because I'm Pastor Smith. As you've discovered, being a minister does not give you immunity from the normal temptations and sin. A minister can sin just as easily as the next person. But what it does do is bring you into greater judgment for your sin. The Bible says, be not many masters, knowing that you will receive the greater condemnation. Again, the Lord said, to whom much is given, much is required. And that servant that knew the will of God, but did not accordingly, shall be beaten with many stripes. Yet he who did not know the will of God, yet did things worthy of many stripes, will be beaten with few. For unto whom much is given, much is required. So being a minister, you are still subject to temptations. You're still subject to sin. You're still subject to falling. But you have really a greater condemnation when you do so. To be a minister really means to be a servant. Gail has been pounding that into our heads, and I hope that we're finally getting the message. There are three Greek words in the New Testament that are translated minister. Diakonos. The word in Greek literally means servant. And we get our English word deacon from this word. And it is one of the words in the New Testament that is translated as minister. Jesus used this diakonos when he said to his disciples, Mark 10:43, "But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." The minister or the servant of all, diakonos. It is the Greek word that is used here in our text in Romans 12:7, or ministry, diakonos. It is the same Greek word that is used by Mary at the Feast of Galilee when she had come to Jesus and said, "They've run out of wine." Jesus said, "What's that to me? My hour has not yet come." But she went over to the diakonos, the servants, and she said, "Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it." But she went to the diakonos, the ministers, the servants. You see, the word actually and literally means just that, ministering, serving. The second Greek word is liturgos. It is a word that is used for one who serves in a public office for free. In Greece, they used to have those wealthy people, nothing much to do, so they would serve in the public offices, but they would not receive any salaries for it. They were the liturgos. It comes from two Greek words, and one is laos, which is people, and the other is ergos, which is to work. So literally, to work for the people. Translated in the New Testament, minister. We get our word liturgy from this particular Greek word. It is the Greek word used in the Septuagint, when it refers to the priest of the Old Testament, the liturgos. And then there is that other Greek word that I like. It's huperitis, which is the under rower, the guy who was down in the galley, the under rower, huper, under, and the eretes, the rower. When Paul was accounting for Agrippa his conversion in the book of Acts 26, as he is telling him about that Damascus Road experience, He said that Jesus appeared unto him to make him a minister and witness. He uses this huperitis. Jesus appeared to him to make him an under rower, to put him down in that galley to row. The fellows up on top were the nauticus. They were the seamen. The nautes, really, but down beneath, the under rowers, the huperites. And so that is the third Greek word for minister. Now there are those that God has given this gift of ministry. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he refers to his gift. He said, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace given unto me by the effectual working of his power." So Paul speaks of his ministry. He was made a minister by this gift of grace. Paul saw his position, first of all, as a gift of God's grace to him, and he exercised it, secondly, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And three times, once here in Ephesians, twice in Colossians, Paul said he was made a minister. I didn't choose to be a minister. It wasn't a profession that one chooses for himself. I was made a minister, Paul said. Now, there are those, and unfortunately, through the church, we see those who have sought to become a minister on their own. It's not natural. It's a strain. And they exercise their ministry in such a way as to cause you to sort of feel obligated to them. But it's forced. It isn't just a flowing natural thing. It's always something that is forced. It's pressured. And those are the guys that experience burnout. There are many times when a person sees the more glamorous aspects of the ministry. You know, he gets to stand up in front of all those people and tell them how they live. Man, I'd like to tell people, you know, how to live. And so many people go up afterwards and say, "Oh, you really just spoke to my heart today. Oh my, how God used you to." And I would like to have some of that feedback, you know. And my, I think I'd like to be a minister. And so they see the glamorous aspects of the ministry and they're attracted. Let's face it. There are some people who have certain psychological problems. That the ministry looks to them to be the answer to their psychological need. For reinforcement and all of this. And so I go into the ministry for what I can get out of it. For what it will do for me. Well, you see, we've got then the word minister all upside down in our thinking. The whole idea of ministry is the giving out, the serving others. The giving to others. Not looking for what the ministry will do for me. But what I can do for others through the ministry. And there are people who feel like they would like to stand in front of thousands of people. And receive that, you know, satisfaction of being up there in front of all those people. It's interesting that when I was pastoring in those small churches for so many years where, you know, we had 50, 60 people. I got $25 a week if it came in. You know, we had to work on the side to make ends meet. Not too many people were called to the ministry through my ministry at that time. But when the church grew and there were several thousand people, you know, coming service after service, then it's amazing how many people came up and wanted to counsel, and they said, you know, I think God's calling me to the ministry. Maybe a person is in midlife crisis. You get a lot of them. I can hear it. You've talked to them. They've come in, and you know, they feel that they're not happy. They're not satisfied with what they're doing. That maybe God's calling them to the ministry. They're looking for a career change. Hard to get a job when you're over 50. And we have then established seminaries in order that we might train men for the ministry. But how can you really study for the ministry? When the ministry is a gift and a calling. I do believe in preparation. I believe in the importance of study. But all of the study in the world cannot make you a minister. You can graduate from any number of seminaries, and to think that the fact that I have a seminary degree and I've been given a diploma, I can now go into the ministry is a fallacy. For the ministry is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a calling of God. And if you don't have that gift and calling, all of the education in the world isn't going to avail to make you a minister. But that's the mistake the church has made. We've put the priority upon the education rather than upon the calling. If God has called you, yes, prepare. Yes, study. Apply yourself. But that calling is of absolute importance. It's sort of tragic that we have corrupted the meaning of this word minister. For we've caused it to mean someone who is over others, just a notch above. Someone to be waited upon and catered to. I would think that perhaps we maybe should not use the word minister anymore, but go back to the original word servant. What is your occupation? Well, I'm a servant. Well, what are you doing now? Well, I'm studying to become a servant. I'm in preparation to be a servant. Now, the true ministry can only be accomplished as you are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Paul in Acts 20 said, "But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus." He received his ministry from the Lord. Writing to the Colossians, chapter 4, he said unto Archippus, say, "Take heed to the ministry which you have received from the Lord." To Timothy, he said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." And Peter writes, "If any man ministers, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified." You see, that's the whole purpose. Is that you do it with the ability that God gives to you so that God gets the glory from the ministry. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, is always the one that we turn to for a true pattern. And we remember that Jesus said, "I did not come to be ministered to, but to minister." He used a verb that is used for someone who is waiting on tables. I didn't come for people to wait on me. I came to wait on people. And of course, that brings to mind the Last Supper, when Jesus took a towel and girded himself and began to wash his disciples' feet. Then he told them he had done this as an example, that they might know what the ministry was truly about. You're going out to be ministers. This is what it's all about, fellas. I'm giving you an example to show you what the ministry is, lest you develop false ideas about the ministry. Lest you begin to think that it puts you in the category of one that is to be waited on and catered to. This is what it's about, fellas. He said, "I did not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And later he prayed, "Not my will, thy will be done." It isn't something where I have the place of authority and power and am exercising it, but I am a servant of God. And as a servant of God, his requirement for me is to be a servant of his people. And we watch Jesus as he served the needs of mankind. What does it mean then to be like Jesus? It means I'm living my life not for myself, but for others. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-negating way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the things I do to ever be sincerely true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live for thee. You see, that's what we've been called to. To give ourselves, to give our time for others. The interesting thing to me is that in the New Testament, this word minister did not just apply to men, but it also applied to women. There were that group of women that ministered to Jesus wherever he went. In fact, it tells us when he healed Peter's mother-in-law, she got up, fever left, and she got up and ministered to him. And then Joanna and Susanna came in to mention in the New Testament. They're in Luke's Gospel because they ministered of their substance to Jesus. Serving. People just have sometimes a gift for it. And it's beautiful to see the person with a real gift of ministry. And as I've observed many of you fellas, you're a joy and a delight because I can see that God has given you a real gift of ministry. Because you do it not in an ostentatious way, not in a way that makes people feel obligated to you, but it's just there, it's just natural, it's just a part of God's working in your life and calling for your life. Ministry. Seeing we have been given this ministry, God help us to exercise it as He would have us to in laying down our lives for the sheep. Father, we thank You today that Jesus came to minister to others. And as we look at His life and we see how He gave of Himself, Lord, we realize all of the claims that He could have made. We realize how He could have gone around and said, "Hey, I'm the Creator." But He went around ministering to others. Help us, Lord, not to get exalted opinions of ourselves. Help us not to look at the ministry from a wrong perspective. But, oh God, help us to be real servants, serving one another as we serve You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I saw how some of you parked out in front, not really worried about people who might be trying to get around or get in. But after all, your ministers, I saw the fish on your bumpers. God help us to be sensitive. Become true ministers. Not to, you know, try and impress people with who we are. Just to be servants of God. We're going to take... We have no schedule this afternoon, it's obvious. we're going to flow with it. We're going to take 15 minutes now for a break, and then we'll come back into the second session. We should be further along than we are, but anyhow... We're catching up, and so let's be back in here in 15 minutes.